Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, you're listening to The Alt in Our Stars. That's the name of the podcast. My name is Chris Payne. I'm your host. And really, really enjoyed this week's episode. Had a band called Potty Mouth from Massachusetts come by. They just released their new single. It's called Cherry Picking. Came out yesterday. So there was a really neat vibe when they came by Billboard of just having put the song out there onto the internet. And we'll talk about this, how they were just starting to sift through those comments, those ads on Twitter, and see what people were thinking of the new song. And they were a lot of fun. There's a prank call that happened during this podcast. That was a first for the Alt in Our Stars podcast. So yeah, I'm really excited about this one. Had a lot of fun with this. Anyways, thanks so much for listening. If you're listening on iTunes, if you're listening on Billboard, on SoundCloud, however this podcast is reaching your ears, thanks so much. And also really appreciate it if you have any comments, good, bad, advice, whatever you have, send it my way at cpainonaplane on Twitter, or just leave a comment in the text. So yeah, this is Potty Mouth on the Alt in Our Stars podcast. Enjoy.
Hey, this is Abby. I sing and play guitar.
Hey, this is Victoria. I'm the drummer.
And this is Allie. I play bass.
Hey, so here with the band Potty Mouth. We're just talking about how you guys just dropped your first single in 2 years, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like an hour ago. Mm. My brain's exploding.
Yeah. It's a really overwhelming feeling to be stuck in New York City traffic, like on our, well, I drove separately from the rest of the band, but just like stuck in traffic while like wanting to look at my phone every 2 seconds to see what people are saying about the new track. And then you're like also having to pay attention. I wasn't driving, but, you know, paying attention to directions and stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So when you just put a track out there, you're interested in what people have to say. Very interested, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we haven't put anything out in 2 years, and we've like spent a lot of time writing songs and demoing stuff, and so this is like our big reveal of like all the work that we've done, and so it's like yeah, it feels really exciting. So I'm curious to see what people will say.
And it's also like a big change from our last release. It's just like better, more mature songwriting and production all around. And it's not just like, oh, like we want to see all like the good stuff people are saying. It's just interesting to see like the words people use to describe your music. Like there's already been like one, people think that Abby's saying the word fleek instead of sleek. And so that was just like, oh, like that's something that came up on a Stereo Gum post. And you know.
Yeah.
So you're diving into those comments.
Not comments, like comment section as much as just what people have been saying in articles and, I don't know, the kind of comparisons that they're making.
Okay. Because I can see how that can be kind of a dangerous line to toe. But if, you know, if you don't let things get to you, there's a, probably a lot of usefulness to pull out of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, comment sections are a band's worst nightmare. So stay away. Mm-hmm.
For writers, too.
Yeah.
Generally, like, when you think about who takes the time out of their day to post something in a comment section, it tends to be either like super, super supportive or super, super angry or trolly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sad.
Like, there's not much middle of the
road. Yeah, people don't comment in comment section to have, like, a very neutral comment.
Yeah, they're not like, meh.
They either do it to demonstrate their enthusiasm or to demonstrate another feeling that they're having, which, could be coming from many different places.
Yeah.
So the debate was fleek versus sleek?
Yeah.
And it's sleek.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just to clear that up now, it's sleek. I think because fleek is such like a new, what is it, like a new word people are saying, so that's where people's heads are going.
Yeah, we're so hip.
Like Stereo Gum was like,
heads are going to fleek.
Stereo Gum was like, this song sounds like it could have come out on the radio in 1995, except no one would have understand what Abby meant when she said fleek.
And that's it's like, a really funny analysis of a song.
Yeah, like the primitive people of 1995 would have had no idea. They literally use the word primitive.
Okay, let's not trash Stereo Gum.
Okay, no,
they're
Stereo Gum's great. It was an awesome write-up, and I'm so glad that they, like, said anything.
Yeah.
But it's,
and
they are not
thing.
The first people to make that mistake. We had a friend write up, like, a new bio for us, and she also quoted Abby as saying fleek, so.
Yeah. I wish I thought of that.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm not cool enough for that.
I mean, literally the only time I've ever heard that word used was when my ex-boyfriend commented on an Instagram picture of me saying, Allie's eyebrows are on fleek. So I've never heard it in any other context.
Yeah.
It's a word that I definitely hear disproportionately more online than in real life.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe I just don't hang out with cool people, but I don't really hear it spoken very much.
True.
Yeah, maybe the culture just needs to change slowly.
What?
No, we'll get there.
We'll get there. Yeah.
So the song is Cherry Picking, and yeah, I think it really pops. It's like a tight song.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. I can see what you guys were saying about how you think you were saying in the 2 years. It's a different sound. You went for something that like. I think just saying pops is a good way of saying it. It's it lodges in there, that hook. The hook is really good.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Thanks.
So we should talk about the video too. Because you finished shooting the video yesterday.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well there's a lyric video for the right? Did it get posted? I don't remember. No. Am I telling secrets right now?
The band's management is in the room here helping out, just for people listening.
Yeah, no, there's a lyric video for Cherry Picking that will come out soon, I guess. But yeah, yesterday we were shooting an actual music video, so.
Yeah, the music video.
Ears and eyes open.
Yeah. It was really fun. We went to this, like, huge house that some kids or some friends of the director knew were subletting in Tivoli, New York. So we had this bedroom that we just completely, or like the director and the other person working with him, completely redecorated to, I won't give away too much of the music video, but we really transformed the room to make it what we wanted for the video. And yeah, it's based off of a certain Ramones video, so when it comes out, it should be, if you know the Ramones and you know, like, their music videos, it might be kind of obvious, but.
Yeah.
So you, all three of you, act in the video.
Yeah.
Okay. You're saying that, like, yeah, like, it's a given.
Well, acting, I don't know, how do you define acting? Like, we have our instruments and We're jumping around.
Yeah.
It's not, like, a full-blown, like.
Yeah, we're
method,
like,
acting.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's just like us, there'll be shots of us playing our instruments and hanging out, and but yeah, we're, I don't know.
There, we did bring someone with us to actually act in it, and that was a young girl.
Yeah, her name's Mia.
From our area, named Mia. How old is she?
She's 15.
15.
Yeah.
And she's awesome. Victoria used to give her drum lessons, and we needed someone younger for the music video, and we asked her, and she was really, really excited. Her dad drove her to Tivoli, checked it out, made sure like it was all legit. And then, yeah, we spent the rest of the day with her.
Yeah, it was fun.
Mm. And yeah, so if I can say acting, if if the word works, it's something you've done in really all of your videos, I think all of them so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's acting.
Yeah.
If it's just like us being filmed hanging out, right?
Yeah.
Is that acting?
We can call it acting. I think it makes it sound cooler.
Okay.
So.
Cool, I'll put that on my resume.
So do any of you, aside from performing on stage as a band, do any of you have any kind of experience with like acting on like on stage and drama, anything like that?
Oh, so you're really going to go into this whole acting thing.
Yeah, I'm going for it.
I mean, when I was in school, I was in a play every year just because that was like part of what you did in school. But I don't know if that really counts.
We like prank phone calls.
Yeah, I guess you could call that acting. Yeah,
That's a kind of performance.
Victoria is an aspiring voice actor. She's really good at doing different voices.
Yeah, it's true.
And who would you prank call now that I know?
Oh, yeah, we could do a prank call right now, could we? Could we? Who should we prank call?
Prank call on speakerphone?
Would this translate well over microphone?
That's why you edit a podcast. You can always find
out.
Like,
hold it up to the mic. Here, plug it in.
Who's going to do this call?
Victoria?
No. It was not my idea.
You're the voice actor.
You volunteered.
Okay, I'll do it.
I've been wanting to hear you do it anyway. Just do
you
want thing.
Yeah?
Do the Mrs. Stoudemire.
And yeah, just hit speakers.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
To make the call.
Marlena, ask for Marlena.
Okay.
Hello.
is this Marlena?
No, you have the wrong number.
Are you sure? I called about the cake earlier. There's a vanilla cake for my son's birthday?
Nope.
This is Mrs. Stoudemire. I paid and everything.
Yeah, it'll be ready at 6.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. I'll be by.
All right. Perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Make sure that it's written out to Perry Shaw.
Hold on. Can you spell that for me?
P A R.
What was the first letter?
P.
As in
Pocahontas?
Okay.
E?
Mm-hmm.
R?
Yes.
I?
Okay.
Yeah.
Who is this again?
Mrs. Stoudemire.
Wow, I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, we talked just a few days ago about the cake.
All right.
Marlena owns the bakery.
Yes. Well, I do have to get back to work.
Okay, yeah, you do that. I'll come in at 6.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, bye.
Bye.
That's a very polite prank call, all things considered.
I'm winning you this. I wanted to say his name, but then spell it wrong so he would still be confused.
But yeah, I ask about, like, the, quote, acting, because I do think that there was a time where you saw less of bands actually being in their music videos, playing songs. Because, like, back in the 80s, like, the MTV days, that was the norm. That was, like, the cool thing to do, like a rock band just performing it. Mm-hmm. And then I think it kind of fell off and people didn't do it much for a while. And now I'm thinking, like, for example, I just last week had Speedy Ortiz on the podcast, and we had a discussion about this, how for pretty much all of their music videos so far, they've been in them and yeah. Like, they're playing the songs. So, like, I see more bands doing this.
Yeah, I feel like it's more relatable that way to be able to see the people in the band actually playing their instruments and having fun, and instead of it just sort of being this, like, abstract idea that goes along with the song.
Though there was a point in time where we were having a conversation about how it would be cool to make a music video where we aren't necessarily, like, the focal point. We actually have, like, people acting with some kind of storyline. But yeah. I think that can be hard to achieve in a music video because, especially, you know, like, assuming your song is short, like, all of our songs, like, none of them are, like, much over, like, 3 minutes. you know, you don't really have a lot of time to really flesh out a cohesive storyline that would make sense unless you add, like, a longer intro or something. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite music videos where there's acting is that Foo Fighters video for Everlong, and it's actually the people in the band who are acting, but it's just very, you know, it's just funny. It's just over the top.
It's very cinematic.
Yeah, it's very cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I love the end of the video where the drummer just, like, because he's dressed as, like, what, like, the woman, the wife, and, like, the whole, like, sheet or whatever,
the whole bed just, like,
comes out from off from underneath or off him, and then he's just suddenly, like,
the drums like appear from under the bed.
Yeah,
that's a great video, great song too.
Yeah,
always put it on the jukebox.
Yeah. Can we give a little shout out to Dave Grohl in case he's listening?
No.
they've achieved cinematic. See, I said acting. I didn't, like, go, like, cinematic.
What? Okay. Give us a break. We're talking about acting here. We're musicians.
So also self-releasing for this new EP coming out.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sort of. I mean, we've put out, when we first were, like, the first year we were a band, we put out 2 tapes on our own. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's, like, a different thing.
Was that I know there was an EP and the album. Was this, like, before the EP?
Yeah, before the EP, we had a demo tape, and then we did another 2-song tour tape after that.
Okay. So is it, like, a big change or, like, not such a big deal to be self-releasing now?
We've always been really self-sufficient as a band. Yeah. We've always done a lot of stuff ourselves, so it's not that weird to have to, like, for example, we've, like, always, like, you know, either done our own art or, like, made, you know, all of the decisions about the kind of art we want, whether it be a photograph or, you know, whatever. Like, we're just used to it, so it doesn't feel hard or weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Allie used to book all of our tours, and we rent tour vans and just go on tour ourselves, and I don't know. Yeah, we're just used to doing it on our own. But, I mean, we have so many people helping us now. Like, we have a booking agent and a manager, and it's, like, been so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, like, with all those supports in place, like, with our manager and you know, publicists and, like, everyone who's working on behalf, like, everyone's still, like, very in support of us having, you know, that creative control. So it's not like we've lost that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I bet it's so great to have control over things, but then there's just so many hours in a day, and it can be helpful with certain things.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, Allie knows better than anyone.
Yeah. I've had the same, like, full-time job for the past 5 years, and in between then have done Potty Mouth. Potty Mouth started maybe like 6 months after that job. And so, I mean, the benefit was it's like a desk, it is a desk job where I'm at a computer all day. So that's what allowed me to like book tours and write a bunch of emails. But it's still a lot of work when you're like, your brain is constantly focused on two different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. But like finding time with a desk job to fit that in, that must have been a lot, and I can see how like it was great, but also now passing things on to a booking agent is like, all right,
yeah.
Mm. Oh, it's amazing, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So the band, as you said, it's been about 5 years now, a little less, that Potty Mouth has been around.
Yeah, like four and a half.
Yeah.
So what was it like when, like, for the first time, people outside of maybe your friend group or people outside of who you knew started writing about the bands on the internet? Like, was that something you expected or thought about?
I remember, like, when we first put out our first demo tape in October 2011, I remember thinking, okay, how do we get people outside of our, like, local scene to hear this? And we sent it to this punk blog, like, that's based in New York, that was like reviewing a lot of tapes at that time. I don't think it's still around anymore, but we sent it there, and I remember they actually wrote about it, and that's when I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. Like, this like punk blog that people from all over the country and maybe all over the world like look at to find new punk music. And that was super exciting. And then I mean, from there, like, it started to, you know, we got a little bit more attention, then, you know, booking tours and playing in other parts of the country definitely helped. But yeah, I think it was just like a gradual process of continuing to release new material. And a lot of it at first was just hustling and shipping out. I remember one time, like, going to the UPS store and shipping like four of our EPs like on vinyl to different labels, because this is when we were trying to find a label to put out our next album, or like our first full length. And I didn't realize how much more expensive UPS is than like the actual postal service. And I paid like $80 to ship out these four records, and I'm like, is this even like the right thing to be doing? Like, does someone even want this? Like, why can't I just send like a Dropbox link? You know, it's just like, you learn as you go on.
Totally.
So would you say back in these days, it sounds like with this and with the booking, you handled a lot of the more administrative things in the band, or was it more of a group effort too?
I mean, yeah, I just ended up taking on a lot of administrative roles just because of the nature of my job. And Abby does like all of the songwriting. Victoria's an amazing drummer. We wouldn't be the band that we are without her. It's like we all have these very unique contributions to the band, and I think that's what makes it work.
Yeah, totally.
Administrative, it's a very formal way of putting things.
She's a beast. It makes my eyes roll into the back of my head.
No, but
because it's like
that's the part of being a band that people don't realize is like maybe one of the most important parts is like you can have music and be a good musician, but if you don't have your shit together, then like who the hell is going to hear you? So yeah, I don't know. I'm like extremely grateful for everything that Allie does.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Because something I hear pop up time and time again in interviews with bands is like there's always at least that one member who's always the one who's like on top of things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm like bowing my head because it just feels like.
Yeah, embarrassed but proud.
Embarrassed and proud. Oh, yeah, that's the emotion that we use.
Yeah, there's a little face that goes with it. It's called embarrassed.
You put your
head
down, but you smile.
Yeah.
So Abby and Victoria, did you also balance out the band with a full-time job at any time?
No. I didn't. When I first graduated from high school, I just worked like a retail job for about a year. But I didn't go to college. And I, after a while, just decided to make the band like my full-time focus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you too, Victoria?
Yeah, same here.
Okay.
We were all, well, Allie had graduated, but Victoria and I were both in school when we first started the band. And so it was like once we graduated, then it was easier to make the band more of our lives than it was before. Mm-hmm. And it did become really time consuming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I read that the gap was about that, like taking a year off before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote that song, yeah, just about taking a gap year and how there's like sort of a negative connotation about that. But that's, a gap year is now turned into like 3 years now. So I don't know if I can really speak on that, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of a cultural thing with America to want to just view that it's the norm to like be expected to go to college right after high school.
Yeah.
Cause like you hear about, from what I can gather, like European countries, it's much more like what you did. It's like, there's no pressure right after.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, see the world instead.
Yeah.
Of...
No, I mean, it's definitely different for everyone, but I think it's a really important experience to have some time off, and just like travel or work a job or just sort of any life experience, because I think a lot of people go into college just because they don't know what to do next, and that can sort of like limit your perception of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just going to school in general, even though like you're learning a lot of things, you're really just in one place. Mm-hmm. For the most part.
I mean, yeah,
there's exceptions to that, of course, but probably being in a band is a very good way to see the world and do the opposite of that.
Yeah, it's the best way.
And it's definitely hard to be in a band and be in college at the same time, especially if you're going to a school where you also live at that school. Like, I didn't even start playing bass until like my senior year of college, and then like didn't really even start doing it seriously, like as a serious hobby, until after I graduated. I just like had no time while I was a student. And I think, you know, I think you're right about this mindset, you know, it's like, at least like in this country, about going to college right after high school. But people, I see a lot of students, because I work at a college, and I meet a lot of students who specifically come to my office because they want to talk to me about how I started a band and how we, you know, got to where we are now. And a lot of them want that for themselves, but don't know how to do it. And it's hard, because a lot of times, mm-hmm, I just want to tell them, like, you're in the wrong place. Like, you're at a liberal arts college in Western Massachusetts. This isn't really where you go to become a rock star. You know,
some may think, but
I try to help them think through using their time creatively so that they can at least find ways to pursue music. And that could be a suggestion as simple as like, oh, they want to play guitar, but when you live in a dorm, it's really not easy to have an electric guitar where you're plugged into an amp. So it's like, okay, you know, maybe get an acoustic guitar. And this one student in particular, she's actually from Kenya, and she has already written these amazing pop songs, and she just finished her first year at Smith College where I work, and I want to help her so badly because she's so talented and has already done so much in terms of producing material. And you know, she was asking me, do you think I should take summer courses at Berkeley? And I don't know, because like, you know, I don't have that background. I'm not someone who went to music school. I don't have any kind of technical training, but I just feel like you don't need to do that. Like, all those things are like big monetary investments. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think that the monetary investment isn't necessarily worth it, because I think a lot of those kinds of things can just be done on your own if you have the time.
Yeah.
So she has the songs already.
Yeah, she's got a bunch of songs.
And she probably doesn't need to go to Berkeley. It's probably more about just like getting outside people to hear the songs.
Yeah, she just needs the right people to hear them.
Mm.
Which I also felt like I wasn't necessarily the best person to help her, because they're really like, you know, they're like R&B, like pop songs. And I just don't feel like I have like enough of a foot in that world. But I just, you know, I talked to her about what I've learned from being in a band, just about like managing time and where she should be putting her money. You know, don't invest that much money in someone to build you a website, because you can maybe find a friend who can do that for you. It's like about learning those things. It's like you should be putting your money towards recording, you know, like so that your songs sound like the best they can possibly sound. But don't put your money towards making a website. So that's kind of what I've been talking to her about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were saying it's difficult on campus to maybe find the time or have all the resources to be a band or really do music. But I have heard, at least the area, maybe not if you're taking full-time classes, but I've heard the area is very supportive for art like that.
Yeah, it's like, some artsy towns that are near each other, like Northampton and Amherst, and it's got its own history of music and small venues to play at. So I think in that sense, yeah, it's has some association with music and musical community, and it's not so expensive to live there. You know, it's not like living in New York.
Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is if you're focusing on classes and going to school full time and living in a dorm, it is just logistically kind of difficult to like make a band happen.
Right. And especially if you're not even going to school for music, like you're, you know, a computer science major, but you really want to do a band. I mean, I'm just speaking from my own perspective at Smith. Like, it was a really rigorous school, and I didn't have a lot of time. I got in trouble for playing bass in my room too loudly.
Well, you got to learn at some point.
Yeah.
So you said you've learned bass like right before the band started.
Not right, like a year and a half. Like I played in a couple other bands before Potty Mouth, but yeah, pretty like soon before we started.
And you feel like smooth transition, like just picked it up and good to go?
No.
I mean, the whole thing has been a learning experience. Our songs have like changed so much since when we were first became a band, because like, your songwriting ability is limited by your like musician abilities. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think like, with learning an instrument, you actually do have to force yourself to practice at least a little bit every day. It's just like the only, at least for me, like I just started, not just, but like I've been playing a lot more guitar lately, and I want to do it, but I just do it every day. And people used to tell me that you just gotta do it every day, you know, zone out while you're watching TV, like pick up the guitar. And yeah. I'm like, really? But now I like understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to talk about with the EP, you guys worked with John Goodmanson, who's produced a bunch of great albums.
Oh yeah.
Was this the first time you worked with an outside collaborator?
What do you mean for recording?
I guess I'm saying for like with a producer.
Would Justin count? I mean.
Well. I see, producer is like a weird kind of amorphous, ambiguous term to me, because I didn't really know what it meant, and so I asked John to define what he thought it meant, what he felt his role as a producer was. And really, like, I guess in the sense that what he did with us is like we spent a couple of days just playing the songs in front of him, not recording, just playing them, and he took notes and he made suggestions about like arrangements, like, oh, this part sounds like it's like could be cut in half, why don't you try that? And so with basic things like that, yeah, it was our first time like having that objective feedback from someone, and that was really helpful. We really had never had an experience like that before. But the songs, it's like he didn't make any suggestions that affected the actual writing of the song or the lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah, it was more just like tweaking the formation and giving us suggestions for different sounds.
Because when I asked him to define what he thought producer was, at least for him, he said that he didn't consider himself he didn't consider songwriting part of his role as a producer. He just really thought it was mostly about making suggestions about arrangements and, you know, tones and I guess what else, just structure.
Yeah.
Word. So there's an EP coming. Have you guys even thought about a next album?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we have lots of songs that we've written and practiced and some demos. And yeah, it's all just been like mostly accumulating all that stuff. And I think, I mean, we'll definitely write more stuff and start preparing for the next release, hopefully by 2016. I don't know. I'm looking over at these my people.
what's the official? I mean, I think 2016 is a pretty safe thing.
Yeah.
And you said thinking about it, so it's not like
yeah,
there will be an album. It's thinking about an album maybe within the next like 20 months. That's,
yeah.
I think that's a reasonable thing to say.
I mean, 2016 is technically less than 6 months away at this point. Less than half a year away.
Okay. Oh, don't remind me.
Summer's basically over.
Summer's over. Back to school.
That's so depressing.
You're going to turn 22. No.
But when does the EP come out?
August 21st.
August 21st. New EP. Sounds great.
Thanks.
Well, it's just Cherry Picking that's out so far.
Yeah.
Okay. So check out Cherry Picking.
There will be four other songs on the EP, five altogether. Planet Whatever Records, that's the name of the imprint. It's also the name of my house. It's also the name of a song we have that we've never released. Yeah, if you want to follow us on any of our social media, we've got all of them.
Yeah.
We got Facebook, Potty Mouth Girls. They're all different, so listen carefully. Yeah. Facebook is facebook.com/pottymouthgirls. Twitter is twitter.com/pottymouthmass.
Twitter.com.
Or whatever.
It's just at Potty Mouth
Whatever,
Mass.
At Potty Mouth Mass. Sorry, I'm old.
You're on a roll right now. Keep going.
So Twitter is Potty Mouth Mass. Facebook is Potty Mouth Girls. Instagram is Potty Mouth Band.
Yeah.
And like, we didn't do that to be annoying. Just like, yeah, we got the Facebook first, Instagram second, Twitter third. And
we're really bad at social media.
It's really
streamlined. I'm trying to get better. I need advice. So hit me up on any social media and tell me how to be good at social media.
And then there's myspace.com/pottymouth.
We started after MySpace stopped being a thing, but.
Yeah.
Live journal slash.
Speedy Ortiz, I always thought it was so cool that they have a live journal.
Yeah.
I really, really, really want to find my old live journal. And even before that, I had a dead journal.
What?
Dead journal.
What is a dead journal?
It was like the thing that was popular before a live journal. This is probably when I was in like, yeah, this is when I was in seventh and eighth grade. So like 2001, 2002. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with the Grateful Dead.
No, it's the same thing. It's like the emo spin on Live Journal. Like, oh, my Live Journal isn't live. It's like dead, like my soul. You know, it's just like for angsty teen, like adolescent.
X Passy Power X?
No, it's funny because my dead journal name was X Twiggy X. And I was like not even straight edge. I don't even think I knew that's what X's meant. But Twiggy was like my nickname, I guess, and then my live. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it. But anyway.
Cool.
Yeah, there were lots of people who had the X's going on MySpace back in the day. It's fine.
There are still people on Instagram. I've seen them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, straight edge is not going to go away with MySpace, so, you know.
Oh, no, I just mean the X, like X something name X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but then I think for a lot of people, it might have also been some just sort of aesthetic thing with presenting your name, or maybe that's what they thought it was. It's open to interpretation.
Yeah,
it's like a cool little decoration for your name.
No, appropriate the straight edge culture.
Yeah, I was gonna, some people might get very, maybe we should edit that out. Some people might get very, very offended by that statement.
Yeah.
But, like I said, open to interpretation. So that concludes another episode of the Alt in Our Stars podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast by clicking the iTunes link towards the bottom of the story on the Billboard website. You can also listen to archived episodes there. Can check out last week's interview with Speedy Ortiz, which popped up a couple times in the interview. Also have Albert Hammond Jr. from The Strokes in there, Chris Baio from Vampire Weekend. Lots of fun stuff in the archives. So until next time, by the way, a new podcast episode airs around 12 noon every Friday on Billboard.com. Until then, have a good weekend, everybody. Peace.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.